Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Today is an important day for European space exploration efforts because the first European moon rover is due to land on the lunar surface. It's called Tenacious. It was built by the European arm of the Japanese lunar exploration company iSpace. It will be controlled by staff on the ground in Luxembourg. Well, extragalactic astronomer and host of the Awesome Astronomy podcast, Dr. Jennifer Millard, is here to explain what's happening. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning.
You're welcome to the programme. If this does manage to land, is it a pretty big deal?
It is. It's a huge moment for European space because this is the first European-built rover on the surface of the moon. And while it's only small and it's more of a technology demonstration, you know, there's not a lot of science on board, it is a huge step forward.
And the Japanese company I mentioned, iSpace, what is their aim in all of this?
Their grand vision is to really see people living and working on the moon. So around the 2040s is when they're anticipating this happening. That seems like quite a quick timeline to me, but it all depends how these technologies develop. Mm-hmm. And so these early landers are the first stages because they have to learn, first of all, how to get to the moon, soft land on the moon, practice deploying different payloads. So this is how it begins. And they've got plans then to ramp up the missions, make them bigger, more complex. But we all have to start somewhere.
So the little rover called Tenacious, it's small, but it has an important role, does it? What is its role? What would it be doing?
It does, yeah. So it's somewhere in size between a toaster and a microwave. Right. So it really is a very small rover indeed. It only weighs about 5 kilos. So yeah, tiny. And this one is just to test technologies about moving around on that lunar surface. It's quite different to the hard ground we have on the Earth.
And what can we?
It's very powdery. It's covered with what we call regolith, so it's a bit like flour.
Mm-hmm. Will we be able to see what it's doing because it has a camera, or will the controlling crew be the only people who have access to that?
So it's not fully clear whether we will see the live feed as they're seeing it, but they will be getting a live feed so they can drive this rover around in real time. And I think that is the best job in the world that I've ever heard of, driving a lunar rover around almost in real time. So hopefully they'll share that footage with us almost, you know, as soon as they can. But it'll be amazing to see what this rover is seeing almost in real time. We just got that couple of seconds time delay because of the distance between the Earth and the moon.
So it will be taking pictures and picking up stuff.
Yeah, it'll be scooping up some of that lunar regolith, that powdery surface, to see how it moves about when it's manipulated. It'll be taking photographs of the lunar surface. Also, there are some payloads on board. So there's one called Moon House, which is an art payload. So it's a tiny miniature sculpture of a house, which kind of symbolizes iSpace's hopes of people living and working on the moon in the future. So once that's deployed, it'll take photos of that. It'll take photos of the lander to see what condition it's in once it's touched down on the surface of the moon. It's got a lot of jobs, this tiny little rover.
Mm-hmm. And people are concerned about the conflicts that exist between commercial and government organisations when it comes to space exploration, Jennifer. And iSpace is a commercial operation, as you've said. What's your own view on that?
I think this move into commercial space is actually great for government agencies because it means that the commercial ones, they focus on actually building the landers, the rovers, that hardware, and it frees up time and money for then the government agencies to focus on the hardcore science, which they are best equipped to do because they've got decades of experience which they can build on. They can do more sophisticated and advanced experiments. So I welcome this collaboration, but I think that's the key, is it has to be a collaboration. You know, those private companies working with the government in tandem. And, mm-hmm. and this is what we're doing. So, yeah, for me, it's quite exciting.
And what do you think the possibilities of this mission might be? What might it lead us to?
So in the future, we expect more missions from iSpace, and the rovers will become bigger, the landers will hold more payloads, become more complex. We'll then see an increased frequency in landing, but of course, that is, we're talking years and over decades of development. So it should lead to some very exciting things. And as iSpace said, they want to support human activities on the surface of the moon, not just like in the days of Apollo, where we went for a few days and then we came back. This is all about long-duration exploration, people really living and working on the moon, you know, being up there for weeks and months. And then that is, of course, working towards getting people to Mars eventually.
All right. Well, people can have a look at the landing at 6:30 this evening if they have a little search for Tenacious and iSpace. Jennifer, thank you so much. Dr. Jennifer Millard there, who is host of the Awesome Astronomy podcast. We're going to hear the remarkable story a little bit later on behind a hit self-help book. It's called Inner Excellence. So stay tuned for that. Next up, though, how to recycle properly.